with a need. And we know that He hears us. We know that He is a God of compassion. We know that it is not His will that any should perish. We know that God cares about every need that we have, no matter how great, no matter how small, that He will not, amen, turn us away. And so it was that Jesus did respond to him. He did begin to make His way to Jairus' home. But before they got there, that there was something else that occurred that completely changed the circumstances. You may ask God to perform a particular miracle or do something in your life, but you may be disappointed in the outcome. Things may not happen according to your plan. Amen. One thing I have learned is that we can always expect the unexpected. That you can never know in advance exactly how something is going to turn out. You cannot see the future. We cannot know the details of what and how God is going to intervene. All that we can be assured of is that God is aware of our need, that He careth for His people, that He is a God of love and mercy and compassion. And no matter what transpires, no matter what difficulties we face, no matter what kind of disappointment we encounter, that God, amen, is still in control. That God still knows, amen, what is best in our life. Amen. God will help you overcome your doubts and your fears and your skepticism and your unbelief. Just knowing that He is God and He's still on the throne. It doesn't matter what circumstances tell us. It doesn't matter what kind of interruptions that we find along the way. There will be times that difficulties will present themselves, and there will be adversity. There will be mountains that we have to go through. There will be, amen, giants that we'll have to fight. But in the end, we know that the name of the Lord will be exalted, and that God will perform His will. Hallelujah. Jesus was delayed along the way by another sick woman who had a need. You know, sometimes we think that God doesn't have any time for anything except us. Because the only time we come to God is when we've got a need. And the only needs that we ever implore Him for are the ones that directly impact us. Amen. I want you to know that when we go to God, amen, we need to look beyond our own four walls. We need to look beyond our own personal needs. And we need to ask God to minister for those around us. We need to be aware of needs in our world that may be even greater than our need. This need that presented itself must have been something that happened all of a sudden. It wasn't that this little girl had been sick all of her life. But suddenly she had fallen ill. That something drastic had occurred. And their household was shaken because of a calamity. But this other woman who had a sickness in her body, amen, had been sick as long as that girl had been alive. That young girl was only 12 years old. And for the most part, as far as Scripture reveals, that this young lady was more than likely a very healthy young lady that enjoyed life to the fullest. But this woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says that she had had this infirmity in her body for 12 years. Ever since that little girl had been born, she had had an infirmity. She had had a sickness that was incurable. And she had done everything that she knew how to do. She had sought for a cure. She had spent money on all kinds of things. The Bible says that she had gone to all the physicians of her day. And she had spent everything that she had. And she was none the better. In fact, the Bible says that she was worse off from all of the things that she had gone through, and she was no closer to her miracle, and she was at the very beginning. But she heard about a man named Jesus. She heard about a healer. She heard about a miracle worker, and she determined within her own self, she came to a conclusion that if I can just touch the hem of His garment, that I will be made whole. Amen. There was something about the garment that Jesus wore. Amen. Because the Jews were they were commanded in the Old Testament to wear a garment. Well, no, along that hem there was a blue ribbon. Amen. That represented the holiness and the righteousness of God. And that was something that set them apart. Amen. As holy unto God. And Jesus Christ wore such a garment. And so she, recognizing the significance. Amen. And recognizing that this man was not like just any other man. That this was a man, amen, that had power. And He spoke with authority. She said, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I can be made whole, because I perceive that this is a man in whom is the very power and authority of God. She recognized something about Jesus, amen, that made her want to come and just reach out. And if she could touch the hem of His garment, she said, I shall be made whole. But this was an intrusion as far as Jairus' circumstance was concerned. Sometimes God allows circumstances to intrude into our life. Situations happen that puts our need on the back burner. We like to be first in line. We like to have our needs taken care of first. Amen. But here was a woman that had a need, and she was reaching out in faith. I want you to know that Jesus Christ, amen, is never too occupied. Amen. He's never in too big of a hurry to stop and minister to those that are reaching out to Him in faith. Amen. That time is of no meaning to the Lord. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is as one day. We, in our world, that time is of importance. Amen. Time does mean something in our world. Time is something that we're very conscious of. Some of you perhaps are even conscious of the time, amen, tonight, and wondering, I wonder how long that preacher is going to preach tonight. Amen. That we are very much aware of time, because time marches on. It doesn't matter whether we want it to or not. When I look in the mirror, I recognize how much time has marched on in my life. Time is a very important matter. Amen. But this was a moment in time, amen, that Jesus took an opportunity to perform a miracle. Amen. It was a disappointment for Jairus, because while, amen, that Jesus delayed going to his house, and this woman, amen, received her healing, Amen. Who reached out and touched his clothes. Amen. And Jesus stopped and he looked at her and he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I wonder how many of us, amen, can rejoice when somebody receives a healing, when somebody gets a prayer answered, and our prayers are still in waiting. Amen. We're still waiting on a miracle. We're still waiting on a move of God. We're still waiting for our healing. We're still waiting for our breakthrough. How many of us, amen, can take time to celebrate and rejoice in the things of God? Hallelujah. Amen. I can get happy. Amen. When seeing my brother and my sister get a blessing. Is that biblical? The Bible says rejoice with them that rejoice and to weep with them that weep. If you can't get excited over your brother or your sister, amen, getting a blessing from God, if you can't get excited about somebody else having revival, amen, you need to examine, amen, your motivation. You need to examine your heart and get right with God. Hallelujah. It would not offend me in the very least to hear about a church, amen, somewhere close by in revival and people getting the Holy Ghost and miracles and healing. Amen. Why? Because the kingdom of God is not just a little congregation and one little building. The kingdom of God is a great, wonderful fellowship, amen, of men and women without number. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Jairus had to take a back seat. Even though his daughter was at the point of death. You know, when you really need something, we were watching today as the fire trucks came to the building supply here next door. There was a fire raging this afternoon just across the street. And we watched it as it's a black smoke began to billow out of the top of that building. And so I said, well, we've got to make a phone call. We've got to make sure the fire department knows about that. And we turned around and we're about to make a phone call when we saw the fire trucks en route. They were already there. They were already on the way. And as we watched them, as they began to get ready, it seemed like it was taking forever and a day. They finally found the fire hydrant, although there were two of them. They found the fire hydrant. They got the hoses hooked up. They began to get, but I was thinking, and watching my watch, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes must have passed and they still want one drop of water on that fire. Now if that was your building, you'd be getting a little anxious. You'd be getting a little excited. Let's speed up the process. I'm about to lose it. Can I just have felt, amen, the minister to this little girl, he was about to die. And Jesus, it was the only hope that he had. Amen. I don't want you, amen, to get put out with God if he's not moving as fast as you want him to move, because he is an on-time God. He knows, amen, what he's doing. He'll be there right on time. Amen. He'll be there. Amen. He won't be late. Amen. He will be there. Amen. According, amen, to the power and the counsel of his own will. Amen. While Jesus was still speaking to the woman, a messenger came. Amen. How many, amen, like to get messages? I remember a story about someone that had never got a message, never got a telegram, never received a singing and they got a telegram one day. And they were so excited. And this guy was just beside himself because he was getting a singing telegram. And the man on the other end said, "I've got a telegram for you." He said, "Oh, I'm so excited." He said, "Could you sing it to me?" He said, "I've never had a telegram." He said, "I'd like to have a singing telegram." He said, "All right. So you ready?" He said, "I'm ready." He went, "Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Your house burned down last night." There's nothing like waiting on something and then getting some kind of a news like that. Here he's waiting on an answer. He's anticipating a miracle. Amen. That's going to do something great in his life. He can feel it. Amen. In his spirit. And while Jesus is still talking to the woman, a messenger comes up from his house and says to him, "Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, thy daughter is now dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" Why keep praying? Why keep begging God? Amen. Why keep believing? And your daughter is already dead. You might as well come on home. You might as well forget your dream. You might as well forget your vision. You might as well forget your request, because all hope is gone. It's too late. It's all went by the wayside. Amen. While you waited. What a message to receive in a time like that. Amen. Some of us would be thinking, if only he hadn't have stopped. If only he wouldn't have taken care of this woman and her need, then he would have been taking care of mine. If only they hadn't have stepped out and received their blessing, maybe God would have blessed me. Hello? Hallelujah. Oh, to get news like that on the heels of someone else getting a victory? Can you imagine the joy of that little woman that had been sick for 12 years? She got her healing. She was no longer diseased in her body because she had felt the power of God. She said, "I felt virtue go forth." Praise the Lord. And Darius' worst fears turned to shock. The thing that he had feared the most, that she would die before Jesus got there, came to pass. And so now not only was he in shock, but he was in deep sorrow. We're emotional creatures, that when sorrow comes, we cannot help but feel a very heavy hearted. That his heart was broken because his only daughter, his precious daughter, a gift from God, was dead. And Jesus simply looked at him and said, "Be not afraid. Only believe." Jesus didn't guarantee him that his daughter was going to be all right. Amen. Some of us, we want a guarantee. We want God to guarantee that we are going to get our answer. Jesus didn't guarantee him. He did not promise him that he was going to heal her or that he was going to raise her from the dead. He just said to him, "Don't be afraid." Oh, whatever you're going through tonight, amen, I cannot guarantee the outcome. Amen. I cannot tell you what God purposes, amen, to do in your life. But I can tell you, amen, don't be afraid. Amen. Just believe. Just trust in God. Just lean upon His wisdom, His understanding. Because God knows what is best for you and your life. Amen. Amen. His prayer request for healing was denied. How many of you have ever felt like that you'd had a prayer request denied? You asked God for something and nothing happened. His prayer request was denied because he had asked for healing. You can't heal somebody that's dead. You know, you might expect healing when someone's still breathing. But it's hard to pray for a cough when you've stopped coughing. Yeah, that was pretty, when you're in a coffin. Amen. He had asked for a healing. But he didn't get a healing. Amen. Amen. Jesus said that if your Father knows how to give good gifts, how much more will your Heavenly Father know how to give good gifts? If you ask for bread, is He going to give you a stone? If you ask for an egg, is He going to give you a scorpion? No. He's not going to give you any of those. Because if your earthly fathers know how to give you good gifts, how much more will your Heavenly Father, amen, give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? That God, the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. Amen. Comes from above, from the Father of lights. So our God will not give us something, amen, to our demise. He will not give us a serpent. He will not give us a scorpion. He will not give us a stone. But He'll give us bread. He'll give us fish. He'll give us an egg. Because our God is a good God. Can you say praise the Lord? His prayer request for healing was denied to make place for an even greater miracle, the resurrection of the dead. This isn't the first time, amen, that Jesus delayed. Remember the story of Lazarus when Lazarus was sick? Lazarus was a good friend of Jesus. Jesus had spent much time in the home of Lazarus and Mary and Martha in the city of Bethany. And so they were very dear to Him. They were not just casual acquaintances. They were personal friends. Lifelong friends. They were someone that had a special significance to Him as far as experience is concerned. You know, you cannot make old friends. It takes time to have an old friend. You can make new friends, but you can't make an old friend. You can make a new friend, you can't make an old friend. Now, old friends take time. These people have an experience with Jesus. They have a long acquaintance with Him. And so they were very special. But Jesus delayed in going to the house of Lazarus. Amen. What we sometimes think is God, amen, shutting the door. It's God has even something better. That God has something greater. He has something that will exalt His name however higher. Amen. If only we can believe God. And so his request was denied because God had other plans. Amen. Jesus simply said, be not afraid. Only believe. Now in 2 Timothy 1:7, the Bible says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." Amen. I want you to know fear will paralyze you. Fear will cause you to doubt God. Amen. You can begin. Amen. The Bible says of Job, Job is a righteous man. But the Bible said that Job said, "The thing that I have feared is come upon me." I want you to know that fear has a way of making its way, intruding into our lives. If you've got a fear tonight of cancer, if you've got a fear of a heart attack, if you've got a fear of some terrible dread accident, happening to your children, you need to get delivered from fear, because fear is not of God. Fear is of the devil. Amen. Don't expect catastrophe. Don't expect bad things to happen, because if you expect it to happen, it probably will. Amen. You can bring things upon yourself. Amen. Through lack of faith. Amen. Whatever happened to faith, the Bible said the just shall live by faith. Amen. Some people, to hear them talk, they live in a perpetual state of fear. Amen. They're afraid of what's coming on the world. They're afraid of the Antichrist. They're afraid of the mark of the beast. They're afraid of the guillotine. I'm not afraid of nothing, because Jesus Christ, amen, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if He's able, amen, to deliver Daniel out of a lion's den, if He's able to deliver David from a Goliath, and He's able to deliver the church of the living God, if we'll learn to trust in Him. Just don't be afraid. Hallelujah. I'm talking about how to conquer fear. Amen. You know what the opposite of fear is? It's faith. Amen. A faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I'm expecting miracles. I'm expecting, amen, healing. I'm expecting a move of the Holy Ghost. I'm expecting a church triumphant. Hallelujah. It wouldn't surprise me, amen, to see a cancer fall off and hit the floor. It wouldn't surprise me, amen, to see a deaf ear unstopped. It wouldn't surprise me to see blind eyes open. It wouldn't surprise me, amen, to see the lame leap for joy. Why? Because the same God, amen, that came in the form of a man is in this place tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. The only thing that we have to fear is fear itself. Amen. For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. God forbid, amen, that we should tremble in fear and wonder what kind of calamity is coming next. Amen. I'm not looking for calamity. I'm looking for victory. I'm looking for the presence of God. I'm looking for Jesus Christ to come in the clouds of glory. Hallelujah. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for the Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Bible says that when Jesus arrived at the house of Jairus, amen, that there was quite a tumult going on. But even before Jesus got there, He began to separate the fearful and the unbelieving from those that had faith. Before they ever got to Jairus' house, amen, He had already made, amen, a distinction between those that had faith and those that didn't have faith. If you don't have faith, you're not going to be a part of this revival. If you don't have faith, you're not going to experience the salvation of the Lord. If you don't have faith, you're not going to see miracles. If you don't have faith, you're not going to see signs and wonders. If you don't have faith, you're not going to see God. Amen. Praise the Lord, because without faith it's impossible to please God. Amen. You must believe that He is, and that He is a Indian giver. You must believe that He's deaf and dumb. You must believe that He's on vacation. You must believe, amen, that God can't move, amen, until some big time evangelist comes on the scene. Amen. You must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for my reward. Hallelujah. I know that there are gifts that God wants to give us. The Bible says He gives gifts severally. Amen. Not just one gift. Amen, Brother Everett. God don't just have one gift for you. He doesn't just have one gift for you, Brother Fry. But the Bible says He gives severally as He wills. I want several gifts. I want the blessings of God in my life. I want God, amen, to put His hand upon me. Hallelujah. Because He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hallelujah. We got to be diligent about seeking after God. Amen. He said there are just a few of you that can go. Now there were so many followers of Jesus. Amen. When this little woman was healed, I want you to know, amen, all the unbelief in the world can't keep you from your miracle if you believe God. There were so many in the crowd, amen, that she literally had to push and shove her way, amen, just to be able to reach out and touch the hem of His garment. Now you'd think you'd be able to find quite a few people with faith, amen, in a crowd like that. But you know how many Jesus found? He said, Peter, James, and John, you three are the only ones who can go with me and Jairus to Jairus' house. There were four besides Jesus. It doesn't take many to have revival. Amen. It doesn't take a multitude. You don't have to go to a mega church, amen, to see mega power. Amen. I want you to know that God, amen, can heal a lame man at the gate. Amen. When he's all alone and nobody to help him. He can go to the pool of Bethesda and He can heal the lame and make them walk. He doesn't have to have a crowd in order to display His power and His authority. Amen. God didn't have to have a crowd. He can, amen. He can deliver by many. Or He can deliver by few. Amen. Jesus said, Peter, James, and John, you three guys can go with me and Jairus. The rest of you stay right here. Amen. And they went to Jairus' house. Now can you imagine what Jairus is thinking? Here, we were in this great multitude. Amen. Everybody's pressing because they want to get near Jesus. This little woman comes along in the midst of that great multitude. She gets her blessing. And now the multitude is left behind and it's just us. Some of you, amen, have got a small church syndrome that's keeping you from having revival. Amen. Because there's not a multitude. Amen. Because there's not thousands in the crowd. You don't think that God can do anything. Jairus looked around and he said, this ain't many. Amen. But they had the one, amen, that had the power. Amen. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst thereof. It doesn't take a multitude, amen, to get the attention of Almighty God. Amen. When Jesus got to Jairus' house, amen, there was a great tumult. Amen. They were weeping and wailing and carrying on. Amen. Everything that makes noise is not of God. And they were making a much ado about nothing. Weeping and wailing and a carrying on. Amen. Amen. But that didn't mean God was there. Amen. God can move, amen, when things are noisy, and God can move when things are quiet. Hello? It's not all in the thunder and the lightning and the earthquake and the wind. Amen. Sometimes God, amen, moves in a still, small voice. Amen. God doesn't have to do it, amen, the way man envisions Him to do it. But I want you to know, if God is on the scene, you can expect miracles to happen. You can expect, amen, the works of God, amen, to be manifest. Amen, because God does not have to fit into our theology. He doesn't have to fit in our way of thinking. He said, what in the world's all this carrying on? What's all this reaping and a wailing? He said, don't you know, amen, that the damsel's not dead, but she sleepeth? Amen. You know, to Jesus, death was merely sleep. Amen. He wasn't afraid of death. Amen. There wasn't any use to carrying on like that. Amen. Because somebody was sleeping. Man, I'd hate to know that every time I went to sleep, people carried on. Now, I could sleep, I guarantee you. Hallelujah. He said, what's all this to do? The damsel's not dead. She's just asleep. And they looked at him. What are you talking about? They laughed. The Bible said they laughed him to scorn, to the very point of mocking him. They ridiculed Jesus. They thought he might be a good teacher, but he's sure not very perceptive. They were skeptical of Jesus. Amen. They recognized Him. They could accept that He was a teacher. But they could not accept the fact that He was God in the flesh. Amen. I want you to know that, amen, the Word of God is more than just a book of wisdom and instruction. Amen. It's the power of God unto salvation. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. The Word of God is quick and powerful. Amen. It's a two-edged sword. Amen. The Word of God, amen, breaketh the rock like a hammer. Amen. Why? Because it's God's Word. And where the word of a king is, there is power. They laughed at Jesus. They mocked at Him. Amen. They were skeptical. Amen. Of His motivation. Amen. But Jesus said to those faithless mourners, amen, I want every one of you out of here. I remove from this place. And the Bible says, put out. Young girl. Amen. Whenever, amen. Wherever it is, amen. Those that are skeptical, those, amen, that are living in unbelief, they must get out. Amen. They must be removed. They must be separated from those of faith. And so they left the room. And the only ones that were allowed to go in, besides Jairus and his wife, were three men. Peter and James and John, which incidentally they're the only three of the disciples that saw the glorified Christ. They saw Him in His glory. Amen. They saw Him illuminated in a raiment of white. And with Him appeared Moses and Elijah upon the Mount of God. For He said, there be some standing here that will not taste of death until they see the Son of Man coming in power. And 6 days later, He was transfigured. Amen. There are some of you that will see things, amen, that you will experience things, that you will be used of God in ways that you never dreamed of, amen, if you will dare to believe God, if you will dare to trust in His Word, fear not, only believe. And so the inner circle approach the lifeless, still form of the dead maiden. There was nothing there but a corpse. No breath, no warmth, no life. Amen. Could you have faith in such a hopeless situation? Amen. Those who lacked faith were kept away from the inner circle. Amen. Lest their skepticism and their unbelief should hinder the power of God. But all of those that believed, amen, witnessed firsthand the miracle working power of the resurrection. Amen. Because Jesus reached down to that dead maiden form. Amen. And He said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And immediately, the Bible says, straightway, the damsel arose. Amen. She didn't just sit up on the side of the bed, but the Bible says she began to walk. Hallelujah. Oh, she that had been dead, she that had been lifeless, amen, she in whom, amen, no one gave any hope, she stood up. And she began to walk. And Jesus immediately said, would you give her something to eat? Amen. The practical Christ. Not only does He do miracles, not only is He a God of love and of compassion, but He's a practical God. Amen. As soon as she was walking and about, the first thing that He thought of was, this young girl probably wants something to eat. And He commanded them to get her something to eat. You know why? Because He's a God that cares. Will the musicians come tonight? Amen. I want God to help me and to help you to conquer our fear. To conquer our skepticism. To conquer our unbelief. Sometimes I feel like the man that replied to Jesus. And Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believes. How many believe that? Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believeth. And that man replied, these were his very words. He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Oh, I want God to help me overcome my fear. Amen. Because there is in each of us flesh. Every one of us. Amen. Amen. We have weaknesses. The devil knows our vulnerabilities. He knows what makes us stumble. He knows what discourages us. He knows what we feel passionate about. He knows what's dearest to our heart. He knows about all of those things. The devil knows. Amen. And he wants to put fear in your heart. He wants to put doubt in your heart. He wants to cause you to question God. But Jesus said, don't be afraid. Faith will cast out fear. If you believe God, you can overcome your fear. If you believe God, you can overcome skepticism. If you believe God, you can overcome unbelief. Hallelujah. Because faith will be enough. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Jesus told the woman with the issue of blood, your faith has made you whole. Oh, if I can just touch him. Hallelujah. Would you stand tonight? Or would you reach out? Amen. With both hands. Hallelujah. And feel after the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. Would you reach out to God in faith? Amen. Would you set aside your fear? Hallelujah. Amen. Remove your doubts. Amen. Remove everything that's unlike God. And just reach out and touch Jesus tonight. If I could just touch the hem of His garment. If I could just pray that prayer of faith. I know everything will be alright. Oh God, I believe. Help mine unbelief. Hallelujah.
A hand of fear.